Session number 11891, Major P. Campbell, Reel 3.
Major Campbell, Reel 3.
I personally warned him because he was coming down. We then had this single-track railway line using it as an access of withdrawal. Not that we had any trains, but we used to go down there. And he came down this railway line and then just disappeared.
What mood was he in?
Oh, he was reasonable mood, I suppose. He wasn't storming or fuming or anything like that.
What did he say to you when you warned him?
Oh, he virtually he just said, "Well, I'm going in a minute." I said, "Well, you know, on your own head be it." Probably. His staff officer, who was with him, reappeared when that whole division eventually broke up. We had the staff officer foisted on us, who actually was put in command of Tube Luch during the final fighting on Singapore Island, which wasn't something that I personally liked very much, but...
Why not?
Well, I didn't think that the general should have been lost like that without... He had this chap as well. And this chap just vanished and then reappeared again. He's a little bit boy's own paper, to my mind. This is probably libelous, but he's a little bit boy's own paper in his approach. When he put our companies into the attack, there wasn't a preparation that our proper colonel, who I'd been sent back to India by that time, used to do. And we were used to behaving in a certain way, everything prepared, everything proper. And I don't think he knew how to command, personally. That's my own view.
Why had your colonel been sent back to India?
There was a post in India that they wanted him to fill. I suppose it was using his expertise.
Is this Briggs?
No, this is Frither. Frith. Colonel Frith. Briggs left us in Bareilly and went off to the desert. And Frith took us out to Malaya, did all the preparations in Malaya, fought us all the way down Malaya. And then he was sent, just after we hit the mainland, he went off to Malaya, to India again. In fact, abortively, because the ship he should have gone on didn't sail. And so he turned up in the bag with a lot of us as well.
Any other incidents you can describe on the retreat down the peninsula?
Not really. Everything, it was so damn monotonous, the whole thing. It was always fight, stand, withdraw, in about 20-mile dashes, as it were. Before hitting Singapore Island, I don't think there's anything unusual. It's just the monotony of a rather nasty withdrawal.
How did the morale of the Jawans hold up?
Their morale stood up very well. They were very good indeed. I think because we were a properly trained battalion and everybody pulled together with everybody else.
Can you describe in detail what you remember happening to you once you got to Singapore Island?
Yes, I think so. You mean before we... Oh, yes, well, we had a... On Singapore Island, we were again messed about by somebody up top. We occupied one position, then we went to another position, then went to another position. And then the Japanese got a foothold on the islands through the Australian sector. And so we were shunted across from our different position to try and shift them or try and get them out. And to do this, we... this new commanding officer of ours had to... we launched a two-company attack, but in such a hurry that the whole thing was bogged down. There was no preliminary reconnaissance, no covering fire, and it was through difficult scrub up a hill. And in this attack, both the company commanders, Alan Coombe was one, and Harvey Kelly was the other, were killed during the attack, which didn't really seem to achieve a lot. I mean, the attack was successful in the end, but it could have been done a very different way, I think. However, that was.
Whereabouts was that exactly?
Oh, it says Hill something. It was not far from Salita Airfield. I can't remember the hill so-and-so, the number of the thing.
How long did the action last about?
About 2 hours, I suppose, to drive them back. And then we sat on top of the hill.
How many companies were involved with that?
Two. Two only.
Do you remember which they were?
A and B, I think.
Was that the PMs?
One, yes. One was PMs and the one was the Cuttacks, the Batons.
Were many casualties taken in that counterattack?
They got quite a mauling, really, in addition to the company commanders, of course.
Was that mainly from machine gun fire or what?
Confused fire. It wasn't really a locale where you could employ machine guns as such. It's mostly Tommy guns. I don't think there are any machine guns at all. Machine guns, you couldn't handle them up that sort of space. Anyway, we got out of that. We eventually thought, well, there's nothing more to do over here. We'd driven back the enemy. And we moved back to Nee Soon, where considerable confusion arose. Actually, I really fade out of the picture there, because while we were in Nee Soon, the brigade major and I were told that we had to report to brigade headquarters, which we did, and we thought it was for some patrol, some special patrol. But when we got there, we were told, you are going to have to go back to India to sort of tell the world how to fight Japanese or something. And so this was back in Singapore town itself, which was a very peculiar place to be in at that time.
In what way?
Well, strange things were happening in the streets. People were walking by, Tommy gun was being fired, grenades were being lobbed, all sorts of peculiarities.
At random?
It seemed to be random, yeah. And one couldn't really tell who's doing what to whom. There seemed to be no control overall at that time. And anyway, we went along. I say, Richard Dent was his name.
Who?
Richard Dent. He was a brigade major. And we went to the command headquarters. We were all sitting in an air-conditioned office and not knowing what the hell was going on.
Command of what?
All Malaya.
This was General Percival's headquarters, was it?
Presumably, yes. And so we were told, oh, you're going on a ship. And then we were told, no, you're not going on a ship. You've got to leave here on a bearing of so-and-so, which I can't remember. We shall follow that bearing, hit an island, and then all about hunky-dory. And I didn't much care for this idea, because after all, I had a battalion fighting the Japanese, and it seemed rather like running away if I was just being sent away.
What was the situation at this headquarters?
Well, very calm, but nothing much, really. They were just sort of sitting there. They didn't seem to know what was going on, who was where.
Who was the senior man in charge there?
I don't really know. You know, you don't really ask this. We just ushered into a room and told her, you're going to be sent away.
What was the senior rank that you saw?
I didn't notice, quite honestly. Didn't register.
Were you a captain or a major?
A major, then. Because Richard Dent and I sort of stuck together. And what happened then? Oh, yes, we were going along. We returned to a rendezvous point where a lot of similar people were being told this. And then I stopped a grenade, I can't think why. Somewhere in the street I stopped a grenade, which put me temporarily into hospital, separated me from Dickie Dent, from Richard Dent.
Who threw the grenade?
God knows. Somewhere in the street.
How close did it come to you?
Enough to sort of take a bit of my tummy.
So you had pieces in your stomach?
Right. And then I whipped off to a hospital, and after I'd been there about half an hour, I thought this wasn't a terribly good idea, because the Japanese had just, burst into a hospital and bayoneted everybody in the hospital. And bayoneted the surgeon doing an operation on the operating table, bayoneted the man on the operating table, and so on.
Was this in your hospital or another one?
It was on a hospital on the mainland somewhere. And so I thought, well, this isn't a very good idea.
Do you know where your hospital was?
Wasn't a hospital in so many words. It was one of these forward
first aid posts.
Right. And the trouble is, when you go into these places, they take away all your arms. And so there was I without any weapons. And then I thought, well, this is very ridiculous indeed. I must get back to the battalion.
How seriously were you wounded?
Oh, enough to worry me for about a month or so. But anyway, I got out of this hospital there. I had no arms, wandering about in the street. And I don't know quite why or how, but I knew that divisional headquarters was in the Cathay building. The Cathay building at that time was about the only skyscraper in Singapore Island, which shows you how way back when that was. And so I went there and said, where's the battalion? I want to get back there. And they said, oh, no, we're not. They didn't know, really. And I said, well, how can I get back? They said, oh, no, you stay with us, because between you and me, within half a day, we're going to close down completely. And everybody's going to be prisoners of the Japanese. And this again, I thought it was a very dim idea. I wasn't going to be taken prisoner. So I met a vet who I had known in Kuala Lumpur in the days of peace, and he was sitting there too. And we discussed this situation, and I thought it wasn't a good idea. I, of course, had been that time, had in my possession a bearing from Singapore Island. So he and I thought this, the only answer was to go and follow this bearing. So we went down to Singapore River. We had a lot of, well, like a marina, a lot of little fishing boats. And we picked one with a sail on it. It's about, 10 feet long, with a little sail. And so we got into it and took to the waters.
How many of you?
Oh, he and I.
What was his name?
I can't remember it now. He's dead now, too.
He was an army officer?
No, not really. He was a vet. Civilian vet from Kuala Lumpur. But we set off, and he started. It was very phosphorescent water. So when you paddle, it's rather like the ancient mariner thing, you know, swirls of phosphorescence and stuff. So he whipped overboard and thought he'd better swim it out, because it wouldn't make so much noise. Because again, at that time, the streets were very peculiar in Singapore. Very strange things were happening on them. And so
what do you mean, strange things were happening on them?
Well, people shooting and flopping explosions. Don't know who's doing who.
So he dived overboard?
He swam the boat out from the back.
Pushed it,
swam it away. And then he suddenly said, hey, pull me out. So I pulled him out. I said, what's the matter? He said, I just remember the sharks under this bridge. Anyway, we went on. We followed this bearing. There were all sorts of searchlights being swashed across the surface of the water and so on, but we ignored them. And then we got out into what you might call the open sea, which was surprisingly unopen. It's only about, the water was only about 3 feet deep. And this is a still dark. And there were all these flashing animals in the water. I suppose now, looking back on it, they were jellyfish. In fact, they must have been, because subsequently that's what put me in the bag. But since so, as we went along, we'd sometimes run aground. I'd jump out to push the boat off, and I'd jump in amongst these flashing animals. Well, come another day, which we were going steadily on this bearing away from Singapore, came another day, and my legs all swole up in a dramatic way. And
because you'd been stung by these creatures?
Presumably, yes. And so he produced a scalpel out of nowhere and sort of did a veterinary operation to let the fluid out. Well, that was right up to a point. We kept on sailing about another day. And then we somehow came up with another boat which had a load of people on board, and we transferred to this boat, which seemed to go in the same direction.
This was a much bigger boat.
Right. And with us with a little engine on it. And I landed up in a hospital with British doctors, plus a clutch of British patients who had apparently been in an incident with a Japanese aircraft. At the same time as this was going on about the about our evacuation, there were a lot of ships being sent from Singapore Harbour with nurses on board, with other people on board who were being sent off for reasons. And these, of course, just sitting ducks for the Japs who used to come over and bomb them when they got a distance out from Malaya, from Singapore. So there were lots of wounded people on these islands, and they were being rounded up by whom I generally don't know into various parties and got onto these medics who were operating and passing them on. They seemed to them by that time to be a system amongst the islands, which I understand had been laid on long before Singapore fell, I suppose by somebody who'd realised that Singapore was going to fall with a big crash. And so there was I with these damned legs which wouldn't work. And Richard Dent by that time, I have no idea, well I have later that comes.
You mean the vet?
No, the brigade major, Richard Dent. Because I was with him, as it were, so I'll say. So I really ended up my day in Sumatra. These little boats eventually got to Sumatra. And I was in a hospital in Sumatra.
Do you know the name of the place?
Yes. After much excitement and going through various places, the place was Padang. Padang, yes. Which was a Dutch outpost on the other side of Sumatra. And there are Padang. What happened at Padang? Oh, it was ridiculous. Again, these damn Japanese aircraft used to come over every day and see what they could see. And any ships that were in Padang were ignored. But as soon as the ship got out, some distance out, it was torpedoed, because this aircraft obviously was in cahoots with the submarines. And then we had one chance when we might have got away. There was a, not a consul, what do they call them, when some local shopkeeper takes on the jobs of
honorary consul.
I suppose honorary consul. Well, this chap was so windy that he'd burned his code book. And then he got a signal, which, of course, he couldn't do it.
Was this a British consul?
Yes. And the sequel to that was 3 days later, a destroyer whizzed into a place called Cibolga, which was further down the coast. He said, "Where are the British? Where are the British?" Because, of course, they did it a bit dark and they had to get out again quickly. And, of course, there were no British because we were all lying in the hospital in Padang.
Because of the signal not having been decrypted.
Yes, because they didn't understand, couldn't decode the signal. And so I eventually landed up in a Dutch barracks, taken over by the Japanese as a makeshift POW camp, in Padang. Because I'd been in a hospital, all the officers of field rank, apart from me, had all been sent off, I think, to Korea or something like that. So I was left with a real dog's breakfast of various troops in this Padang POW camp, or Padang Dutch barrack. They were all sorts. There were a lot of Australians who had no business to be there. There were a lot of very demoralized naval ratings from the Prince of Wales and the Repulse. There were a lot of, all sorts of people. And so that's really how I ended up in the bag. It wasn't a very exciting thing.
So the Japanese just moved in when you were in the hospital?
Right, right.